It's here and now, and today the NBA's Advisory and Finance Committee is meeting to determine next steps for Donald Sterling, the L.A. Clippers owner who has been banned for life from the NBA after those racist comments caught on tape. Caught on tape, by the way, and reported first by the gossip news site TMZ, which posted audio of Sterling's remarks that were recorded by his girlfriend.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people.
Well, since posting that audio, TMZ has been following the story every day. Last night, they put up a video of a TMZ staffer peppering Sterling with questions as he was leaving a restaurant.
Hey, Mr. Sterling, if a majority of the owners wants you to sell the franchise, will you sell? Have you apologized to the players and the staff? Do you think they deserve an apology? Will you ever attend a Clipper game?
Not getting a lot of answers there. Well, here to talk with us about TMZ, how it came to be, where it might be headed, is NPR's media correspondent David Folkenflik. David, welcome back.
Hey, thanks so much, Jeremy.
And take us back right to the beginning. Where did TMZ come from? How long has it been around?
Well, it's been around since about 2006 from the feverish mind of Harvey Levin. He was a guy – I grew up in Southern California. He was a guy I knew as kind of the consumer and legal affairs correspondent for one of the major network affiliates there, I think CBS. And he had also, I think, at one point been the sort of stone-faced announcer outside the People's Court after the judge had rendered his decision. Levin, you know, decided that really he wanted to bring a kind of almost, I guess, old-school tabloid sensibility to covering Hollywood, to covering entertainment and celebrity out there. TMZ stands for the 30-mile zone. Hmm. And, you know, he just said they've been soft. And he kind of struck a chord and deals with paparazzi out there. He seems to have built up a cadre of reporters who are a little different than the ones who got the kinds of training you and I might have in newsrooms at radio stations and newspapers, but who are out there hustling, who are, you know, kind of nabbing people in the street for interviews, trying to snap pictures of them unawares, and also trying to expose the kinds of activities they may want to have kept hidden.
And breaking a lot of big stories over the years. I'm thinking back to Seinfeld's Michael Richards spouting off racial slurs. That came from TMZ. Mel Gibson's controversial DUI arrest. That was a TMZ breaking news story. Michael Jackson's death. Here's the founder, Harvey Levin, talking about their Michael Jackson coverage.
The way it started with us was we got a tip that Michael Jackson had gone to the hospital. That was not alarming, because we've done other stories where he went to the hospital, in some cases for minor things.
Right.
What really made this a huge story is we found out that he was in full cardiac arrest at the house. That was actually, in many ways, the biggest story.
Right.
Because it changed it from how he went to the hospital to life and death.
David, how does TMZ manage to break all these stories?
Well, one of the things to really pay attention to about TMZ is we usually have no idea. They are exceptionally not transparent about letting readers and viewers – they have a, you know, affiliated TV show – know how they got information. They say that they got information. So, you know, there's a strain of thought that believes they paid off a paramedic for information. You know, there's been scandals in Los Angeles, not necessarily about TMZ, but about other news organizations paying off workers who have access to certain hospital patient information on, you know, software programs within medical centers. And there were actually some prosecutions as a result of that. You know, entertainment and gossip is, in a sense, the major industry in Los Angeles and Southern California, or at least one of the biggest ones. And so trafficking in this stuff is at once vital. But when you don't know how they get that information, it is troubling. And it's very hard to evaluate. They were right. They beat the Los Angeles Times on the Michael Jackson story by several hours. And that's a source of some embarrassment for the LA Times. But what if they were wrong? We don't have any way of knowing if they had six sources or one, or how they came by it, or how reliable or authoritative that source really was.
Well, and that sort of brings up this comparison with the National Enquirer. Are they different than the National Enquirer, which does sometimes break real stories, even though sometimes you're just reading about things that are completely made up?
Yeah, you know, I remember reading a memoir by one of the former editors of the National Enquirer, and the pains they went to validate information was fascinating. They also got some things really wrong, and they saw that as the consequence of doing business. You know, I think Lil Wayne was taken to the hospital at one point, and TMZ played that up as a serious thing. And then there was this counterclaim that said, well, he suffers from certain kinds of epileptic seizures, and that it was presented in a completely false context. TMZ really doesn't do what you think of major news organizations doing in the sense of acknowledging when they fall short or get things wrong. They just kind of disappear their reports or they just move on. It's just say, well, we've got new information. Let's tell you about it. And they don't acknowledge that. And that's really a hard one to swallow when you think about trying to make space for them at the media table. If you want respectability, it's not simply what you cover but how you approach it, both in terms of precision but in terms of honesty with your readers and your subjects. That said, there have been a lot of stories that I think they've really advanced. You know, the Mel Gibson stories, we would be thinking about him in a very different light if it hadn't been for the kinds of tapes and information they obtained showing him to be kind of a hateful guy in many contexts.
And mainstream organizations don't seem to have any problem quoting TMZ. When they've got a story, I wouldn't be surprised to see CNN or one of the channels say TMZ is reporting this.
Absolutely the case. You know, it's worth pointing out that you know, TMZ and CNN are both part of the larger Time Warner empire. So you had this incredible moment where the commissioner of the NBA was speaking about his lifelong ban of Donald Sterling. Right nearby was a senior executive from Turner Broadcasting, which has a major NBA contract. And of course, it was all premised on a story that was broken by TMZ itself, a Time Warner sibling of Turner Broadcast. He shows you all these different tendrils of the media. But, you know, TMZ itself is carving out a space. It's doing, in a sense, what old tabloids used to do, but there's an immediacy and there's an ability in the modern age to leverage recordings and audio and photographs taken on iPhones in ways that takes you inside rooms you never would have been before. Yeah. And I think that's really the different thing about this case.
Well, and TMZ is now moving into covering things like politics. Here is TMZ asking Senator Marco Rubio of Florida about Justin Bieber.
I mean, we got our hands full here with things. Other than that, I hope he gets some help.
Okay.
That dude's in trouble.
So is this TMZ's future, that it's going to go start covering politics?
Well, you know, Harvey Levin made this very splashy announcement a few years ago saying that they were going to open a bureau in Washington, D.C. and look out, Capitol Hill. They were going to do to politicians what they had done to, you know, celebrities in Hollywood and their publicists, which is to say to strike fear. And that never transpired. If they're going to, you know, corner them and interview them about celebrities or fleeting pop culture moments, I think politicians would welcome that. I think what they fear is what is experienced in Hollywood, which is this, you know, dreaded kind of chilling feeling inside their soul whenever they think that TMZ may be on to some misbehavior or some rumors that may not even be grounded in fact.
Do they do well financially, David?
You know, it's hard to determine precisely how well they do, but Time Warner boasts about their performance. They say TMZ helps to lead sort of a suite or cluster of digital properties that they have that get, I guess in the last financial report, they declared that it was 24 million hits a month. It's not the same as a place like BuzzFeed, but they don't have the size staff of a place like BuzzFeed. What they also do, you know, is they're able to amortize it across a TV show, and they've made such a splash and such a name that I think that in and of itself, with all the traffic they get, is seen as a real success for Time Warner and for Harvey Levin.
NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik joining us from New York. David, thanks.
You bet.
This is Here and Now.